We are continuing today with the series, God is Able, Our God is Able. And I want to just say that I want to emphasize that this is not just to give us a picture of how great our God is, but also to encourage us to believe that if we know that God is great, if we know that He is able, then that encourages us to believe more and more and to expect more and more. The scripture for today is from Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. I'm going to read all those. And as you'll see, it is a prayer. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 goes like this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this, the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I appreciate it when someone tells me that he or she is praying for me. While Carol and I were at Senior Saints in the Smokies last week, one of her classmates told me his Bible study had been praying for me for 2 years, and he was glad to hear that I was doing well health-wise. Today's scripture records one of the most beautiful prayers found in the Bible. The Apostle Paul prayed this prayer for the church, specifically the church located in Ephesus. But I believe it has a much wider application than that. I'm sure that Paul would not mind one bit if we claim his prayer for this church and for all others in our day. I'm not going to deal with the whole prayer today because there's so much to it. But I think we wouldn't be able to get it all covered if we tried that. But I do want to focus on verse 20, the one that we've read already. I want to read that verse again, but this time I want to read it out of the Amplified. He, God, is able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To me, this is one of those verses found in the Bible that I think every Christian should memorize. So if you haven't memorized that verse, do so, because it will come in handy for you many times, I'm sure. It tells us what our great and mighty God is able to do. And we can only grasp the meaning of this verse, if we only can grasp the meaning, it should keep us from worrying about how we are going to make it in life, plus keep us from worrying about a lot of the concerns as well. According to this verse, we cannot even imagine what God is able to do. Now, some people have no imagination at all, while others can imagine all sorts of things, both good and bad. We watched the movie The Hobbit this past week. And one thing I can say is that J.R.R. Tolkien, the writer, had a very vivid imagination. It's not the kind of movie you want to watch right before you go to bed, though, is it? I feel that, in some ways, the imagination is stifled today by all the electronic gadgets that we have, especially in children. Paul is telling us that our human minds, as complicated and amazing as they are, cannot even begin to think big enough to describe what our God is able to do. Realizing that truth to the extent that we are able to understand it holds some implications for us. For instance, sometimes we may think that we are asking God for too much. Ever felt that way? Maybe I better just stop asking because I'm asking too much. God may get tired of me coming and asking Him for all these things. According to this verse, we can never do that because our God has unlimited resources at His disposal. We can never ask for more than He is able to supply. In fact, our God owns everything, the Bible says. Everything, all the silver and the gold is His. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to Him. And it all is God's. You may ask, but what about all those people though that have all this wealth? What about all these millionaires and all these billionaires? What about all that they possess? They have much property, they have many businesses, factories, all sorts of possessions. But the question is, what happens to those things when those people leave this earth? Do they take any of it with them? Of course they don't. We don't take anything out of this life. Whatever we may have in this world, whatever we may have been given, we are only managers of it, or stewards, as the Bible calls it. We are to take care of it. We are to manage it well, to be good stewards. But part of that is the realization that we don't own any of it. And it's probably a sign of humility or a time when we come to this realization in our lives when we know for sure that whatever I have, it's not mine really. God has just given it to me to use for a while. And someday I'll have to stand before Him and give an account of what I've received and what I have used and how I've used it. A commentator by the name of Jowett wrote concerning this verse, "What I have asked for is as nothing compared to the ability of God to give. I've asked for a cup full and the ocean remains. I've asked for a sunbeam and the sun abides. My best asking falls immeasurably short of my Father's giving. It's beyond all that I can ask." Now, if we could just get that into our heads, if we can truly accept that as the truth and truly believe it, what a difference it will make. The problem is not that we ask for too much, but that we have a much too limited understanding of what our God is able to do. That limits both what we ask for and what we are able to receive. J.B. Phillips wrote a book with the title, "Your God is Too Small." And for some of us, that's probably true. We have a much too small concept of God. Having a little concept of God will certainly affect what we're able to ask for and believe for. But think about this. If we limit ourselves to what we are able to conceive of and think up and ask for, what need do we have of God anyway? It's only when we go beyond ourselves, beyond what we can see, that we are able to do, able to accomplish, able to have. It's only as we are able to step out in faith that we're able to see what God is able to do. If we don't need God's help to attain whatever it is that we're trying to do, then why do we call on Him in the first place? I like the rendering of Hebrews 11:1 in the New Living Translation. It goes like this: Faith is the confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. Think about that. Faith is what gives us the confidence that what we hope for, what we're really expecting, will happen. It's not just throwing stuff out into the air and hoping some way or another something's going to happen. That's not faith. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's the realm of faith. We don't see the things, but we believe. When we ask God for something, do we really have the confidence that He is both able and willing to do what we ask for? Or are we simply hoping? I hope. There's a difference, you know, between hoping and believing and expecting. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon was once talking to a minister friend, and the friend was lamenting the fact that so few were coming to the Lord as a result of his preaching. Spurgeon asked him, "Do you expect people to come to the Lord every time you preach?" His friend answered, "Well, no." Spurgeon said, "Then that's the reason they're not coming." Now, there may be a little more to it than that, but basically, that's true. Faith has in it a certain expectation that what we are believing for will come to pass. If we don't expect anything to happen, it probably won't. I remember one of the professors I had in school told us in our preaching classes about how we prepare and present our sermons. And he said, "If you don't get excited about it, nobody else will either." And if we don't get excited about God, if we don't get excited about what we know He is like and what He's able to do, then certainly nobody else, the people in the world, are not going to get excited about it. Faith has it within it that certain expectation. It's not up to us to make it happen, my friends. We can't make it happen many times. That's why we're praying. That's why we're asking God to come in and help us. It's up to us to believe. You say, "Well, that's the easy part." Well, sometimes not. Sometimes it's the hard part to really believe. To believe and grasp a hold and don't let go. When we focus on God's ability, not our ability, but on His, it builds up our confidence. And also our faith. This verse also tells us that there's no problem or need that any of us might have, or for that matter, all of us together. Now, I'm sure this morning that everyone here has needs in your life. I know I do, and I'm sure you do also. Well, if we would bring those together and pile them all right here in the middle of this church or into this sanctuary, might be quite a pile. But all of that together, all that put together, none of that is greater than our God. None of that is bigger than God. He is bigger than our biggest problem and greater than our greatest need. Let me say that again. He is bigger than our biggest problems and greater than our greatest need. Do we really believe that? Do we actually believe that? Do we see Him in that way? With God, as Jesus said, all things are possible. With God. That means when we get with God, that makes a majority, doesn't it? When we stand with Him rather than with the world, or when we stand with Him rather than with doubt, or with a lack of ability or a lack of anything, well, we just can't do that because we don't have it. We may not have it, but He has it. That's what we have to understand. With God, all things are possible. When we think about our human resources, we know that no matter how much we have available, it may not be enough. Or we may even run out, come up short someday. You know, in the western part of our country right now, they're having a water shortage because they've had a prolonged drought. There's some other things involved as well. But there's a shortage. Some places are even rationing. Many people face shortages of finances every month and end up falling behind. We do not have unlimited resources, but our Heavenly Father does. He has unlimited resources. He has more than enough. Because, as I said before, His heavenly resources are unlimited. No matter how big our problem looks, it's not too big for Him. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, which is the tiniest of all seeds, if you have that much faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. At times our problems may seem mountainous to us, but they are never too big for our God to handle. It isn't that our faith is so powerful, because I know sometimes my faith is not. Faith links us up with His power. Faith links us up with the unlimited resources of God. Faith enables us to tap into the unlimited resources of heaven and bring them down to earth, to bear on our needs, to bear on our problems, to help us in our times of need. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to pray, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God comes wherever God's will is done here on earth. Because, you know, it's already done in heaven. There's no question about that. I think I'm safe in saying that we have only touched the hem of the garment when it comes to seeing God's power and heaven's resources brought forth into our lives, into the church. There's so much more available to us, my friends. So much more. And here's another reason why we should expect great things from our God. As I've said before, He wants to do great things for us because He loves us, cares about us, but He also wants to do great things through us. In other words, He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Jesus told His disciples on the day He ascended into heaven that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me. That power He was talking about is from God, through the Holy Spirit. Not all of us will be preachers or evangelists or teachers or those who are able to talk boldly with other people about Jesus. We all have different gifts, but we are all called to be witnesses. And we do all the time, whether we realize it or not. As far as I'm concerned, that's the most effective way to reach out to others. Every time we come to the church here, we drive through the Highlands and we see people everywhere. And they're doing all sorts of things. And most of them are not in church, for one thing. Or we don't know how many of them are even thinking about God at all. Or have any relationship with God. You know, we talk about going somewhere else, having a field, having a mission field. We have a mission field right here, my friends. We have many people who don't know the Lord, who aren't serving the Lord, who aren't giving the Lord a place in their lives. I'm sure we're all aware that there are people in the world who watch Christians carefully, you and me. Some watch us in order to point out our failures and our weaknesses. But some are genuinely interested in seeing how we live. When we receive blessings from the Lord and we handle them in the right way, it's a witness to others. When we face difficulties and go through them by faith, it is a witness. Anybody can stand up and talk about their faith. But when we live out our faith day by day, it is a witness to others. And I believe it's the most positive and the strongest witness that we can probably have. Also, there is what I call a crossing point. When we go out into the world, as we all must at times, and come against a challenge of some sort, it is an opportunity for our faith to work. It's also an opportunity for us to see God work. When we put our faith to work, other people notice it, believe me. That's why it is so important for us to keep our faith centered squarely on God's greatness and not on our own weaknesses or limitations. Some clear night, go out into the yard. Yeah, I guess you'd have to get out of the city lights to be able to see this. When we lived in Kansas, you could go out in the country and you could see stars forever, everywhere. But just notice how many stars there are in the night sky. Millions, billions of stars. The universe is so big that we cannot even understand it. The distances are so great that our minds simply cannot comprehend it. Remember this. God created all of that. And He is above it. And He is greater than all of that. He is bigger and greater and more powerful than all that we can see. We don't understand such bigness. There's no way we can wrap our minds around the greatness of our God. We don't understand why He loves us and wants to care for us. But you know what? We don't have to understand it all. What we must do is believe. Believe. Faith is the key that opens the door to God's unlimited resources. Faith. A few years ago, I saw a poem that was written as if it was a word from the Lord. I cut it out, put it in the back of my Bible, and I took it as a word from the Lord to me. I want to share that with you, and I want you to take it as a word from the Lord to you personally. I want you to face the mountain so that you can see. When the mountain is out of the way, all there is left is me. Only I can move the mountain. Only I can push it away. Only I can conquer the problems that you face each day. Your job is to believe and to listen to my voice so that when you hear my command, obedience is your choice. But I will not make it too difficult, for the victory is already mine, and I will fill you with my Spirit, and through you my grace will shine. Not when you are perfect, like you think you need to be, but when your heart is willing to become more and more like me. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Let's pray. Oh God, you are so great and so mighty, Almighty God, that we don't understand your greatness or your bigness or your love or your care. But Father, just help us to rest on our faith, believing that because you are who you are, you can do whatever we have need of in our lives. Father, I know that there are people here this morning who have needs. And I pray that out of your greatness, you will meet each and every need. That the problems that we face in our lives day by day, if we put them in your hands, God, if we trust you in our lives, you're able to help us overcome. So we ask, God, that you'll help us to believe. Increase our faith so that we may believe for more and more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.